welcome to Chai with Samdosa. In my episodes, I have a great heart-centered conversation with my guests. They are in a diverse population around the world. So enjoy and have lots of fun. Please get in touch if you'd like to be on my podcast as well. Bye for now.
Welcome to Chai with Samdosa. Today I have Tammy all the way from Calgary. What I can say about Tammy is she is very enthusiastic about teaching people about finance. And not only we talk about the new startups, but also to the children as well. That's her mission, which she's very much engaged in it. So let's hear from her about herself, because it will not be justified if I won't go to talk about a little bit, but I'll let Tammy talk about who Tammy is and what's her purpose in this transient world. Welcome to the show, Tammy.
Thank you for having me, Sam.
Pleasure is all mine. So tell my audience, who is Tammy and what's her purpose?
I like to think of myself as a positive shit disturber that's out to make the world a better place for everybody.
Good. Fair enough.
So I specialize in working with self-employed entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, small business owners, and I work with them to teach them the practical, hands-on, put-to-use skills that they need in order to run a successful business. So many people are very good at technically doing what it is that they do, their service or their product, but they don't have the skills that are necessary in order to build a sustainable business. So most crash and burn, and I hate seeing that. So my passion is helping them build a business around whatever product or service it is that they're offering. As long as it's honest, moral, and ethical, those are my rules.
Oh, wow. Are those your rules or are those are your values?
As far as I'm concerned, they're the same thing.
Yes. Perfect. No, because sometimes people get confused because they will say, okay, your rules are rules and your values are values, because sometimes we distinguish between two different things and everybody has a different way of looking at the perception as well. So that's a great values which you as mentioned, ethically and honesty and all those sort of things required to run a good business. And as what you are doing is in the arena right now, you are helping amazingly, and you're helping a lot of people. So at this with this COVID-19, what has been your experience with this?
Well, for me personally, it's not that big of a deal because I've been working from home for 11 years. Mm-hmm. So I had an office for a few years and moved home, and I'll never go back to an office space because I like the flexibility of working at home. The commute is awesome, not having the overhead in that. And I'm doing all my stuff over Zoom. I'm now doing my classes over Zoom. That was my goal already, but the COVID-19 definitely moved it up because I love working with people from all over the world, and Zoom and all the other different technologies allow us to do that. Business is business is business. There's a few technical rules and stuff that might change, but the basics of building and running a business are the exact same anywhere in the world. So this allows me to help an awful lot more people. And I have been. I've been working with people all over Canada, the United States, and a lot in Europe now as well. Wow. So COVID actually hasn't been a bad thing for me. And it's one of the things that I'm seeing with a lot of my clients is it is very stressful. The world that we're used to does not exist. Who knows if we're ever going to fully get back to it, but people are going, okay, life is still going on and business is still happening and I can still do the things. I just have to figure out new and better ways of doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So financial freedom, we talk about, a lot of people are talking about financial freedom, and there is some sort of a myth a lot of people talk about, I can give you a financial freedom and you have to follow XYZ thing. Can you elaborate what that meaning of financial freedom in your experience?
In my experience, I look at financial freedom a little bit differently. And my background is as a personal financial advisor. I've been in the financial advising business for 27 years. So this has been my entire life. But I look at it a little bit differently. Like most people, when they talk about financial freedom, it's the freedom to not have to work. You've got enough money coming in fully on its own that you don't have to work. And that's the ultimate. But that's pretty damn challenging. And some people accomplish it, some people accomplish it early, but they're the outliers. My definition of financial freedom is having the skills and the, preferably the business, where you never have to worry about being employable. So a lot of people think that I have a nice, safe, secure job. I get my paycheck every 2 weeks or on the 1st and the 15th or whenever they get paid. And that's nice, safe, and secure because they know it's always going to come in until they get pink slipped or laid off. Or the business goes under, or they don't need you because COVID has changed everything. And that's really terrifying. With my business, I don't know exactly what's coming in or when. I eat what I kill. But if I want to eat more, I can always go out. I can find more clients. I can come up with more products, more services. I'm much more in control. And I can do this anywhere in the world. To me, that's freedom.
Yeah, that's what I call it, freedom, because it is, you are your own, you know, boss in terms of everything, not only financially, but your materially, your emotionally, your physically, and everything, wherever you
your
want
time.
To work. And your time is your, the most precious commodity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where you decide what exactly, what time you want to do, whatever you want to do and how you want to do it. Yeah. So that's a great, great insight of that. So, you know, I was never been told how to look after money. My father never taught us because in our culture, father is the breadwinner. Mother is not the breadwinner. We have been told that, oh, I'm going to go work. I bring money. And exactly, I was instilled in myself as well. When I came to the UK, I was been doing exactly the same thing because this has been embedded. You need to work for somebody else. And they will give you your pay slips. And if they are not going to give you a pay slip, then you go on to a job or go and ask for scraps or look for another job. So, because this is very important that our children should learn this, that financially they have to understand the money is an exchange or is an energy. We call it, certain people call it an energy. And certain people call it as an exchange of your services, how you look at money. But in your experience, what should be the thing we should be teaching our children about money?
Oh, well, there's so many things that we need to be, not just teaching our children, but teaching people in general. Like, I don't know what exactly the levels of financial literacy are over in the UK, but over here in Canada, we have the lowest rate of financial literacy in the westernized world. On the subject of money, we're dumber than Americans.
Same in the UK. Same in the UK. We are not teaching our children.
We don't learn about it in school. It's not just your culture, it's most, if not all cultures, talking about money is taboo. Like my mom was the primary breadwinner in my family when I was growing up, but we never ever talked about money. All of my financial education has come on my own as an adult because I wanted to learn and because that was the industry that I went into. And it's even more important now because, like, my mom worked at the same hospital for 42 years before she retired and she got her pension and all this stuff, and that was good for her. That those type of jobs pretty much do not exist anymore. And people are bashing on millennials and stuff all the time. Like, why are they so lazy? How come they don't have any loyalty? How come they don't show up for jobs or whatever? Because they learn from seeing their parents and their grandparents and all this stuff being downsized, right-sized, fired, or now you, like, all of that. And they're going, why should I have any loyalty for them? I was just seeing something on Facebook where people were going through and showing job ads, and they're wanting, like, we want at least a bachelor's degree, or we want master's, or we want PhDs, and we're going to pay you $15 an hour. Are you kidding me? So I'm going, and the big corporations are not providing the jobs anymore. Where the jobs are, where the security is, where all the business is happening, like the huge corporations are making boatloads of profit, and they're always finding ways to outsource their jobs to cheaper and cheaper countries. And like, it's huge happening down in the States, and we're seeing a lot of it here in Canada. Like Royal Bank of Canada just laid off all of their call service center in Canada and offshored it all to India.
Yes.
And they're making billions of dollars a quarter. Like, it's not because they're losing money. It's just because they want more and more and more. So where all the growth is happening is people setting up their own jobs. The gig economy, as they're talking about it, are starting up their own small business, setting up as solopreneurs. And I'm all for that. It puts the power back in your hands. You can make as much as you want. You have the creativity. You have control. But you need to learn how to do it properly, or you're just going to be like running like a hamster in the wheel, wondering why you're not getting anywhere except tired.
Yeah. I think that is one thing which I want to address over here. With when you talk about solopreneur and they are starting their businesses, do you agree whether they should have a coach, a business coach, or a financial coach who can help them?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even like, I'm a dork. I've been studying money, business, and success since I was 7 years old. It's always fascinated me. The most important thing in my house, as far as I'm concerned, is my library. And I'm constantly learning, and I get so much out of it. But I still work. I've been in business coaching programs and worked with coaches, and I do coaching because, and you need to have somebody who can see outside, because we get so busy in our business, you can't see the forest for the trees. And we get focused. You need somebody who can go tap you on the shoulder and going, okay, slow down for a moment, pull back. Are you seeing what's right in front of you? And the different things. Like, a business coach saves you so much time, money, and grief. They're worth their weight. A good one is worth their weight in platinum. They help you stay focused. They help you see the things that you're missing. They help you put together your plans. They help you with the execution. And you can have very specialized business coaches. Like, I've got a client who was working with a messaging coach for a few months. It's not a forever thing, but he worked with him for like, I think it was 4 months to help him figure out, like, get the message properly for his business so that he could better communicate with his clients. And it's been huge. And financial, you'll go through, if you are serious about being successful in business, you will go through many coaches.
Yes.
Because as you learn and grow, you need a different coach to take you to the next level. Into any professional sport, they have coaches for all sorts of different skills.
I think that's, again, people are still very, whether I call it naive or whether I call them not realistically seeing things, because you are a one-man band. You won't be able to do everything. You can't be posting your message on all the social media. You won't be able to communicate with your client. You can't be able to do designing of your website. You won't be able. So there are so many things. Accounting, again, bookkeeping. Even there are a lot of softwares available. You say quick accounting and this accounting and that accounting. Still, you are doing this. All are connected with IRS and our HMRC over here nowadays. People are saying, oh, I can do myself. I don't want to have an accountant to do it, my puppy. And I'll do this, I'll do that. So there are
and
so
then
many
they wonder
things.
Why they lose money and have problems.
Yes.
Like, there's so much stuff that you can do on your own, but you cannot do everything on your own. Like, one of the things, when I'm working with a brand new business, I want them to do their own bookkeeping for 6 months. I still want them to work with a bookkeeper to show them how to do it and stuff, but I want them to do it themselves for 6 months so that they can see and get familiar with the numbers and the flow and do different things so that when they pass it off, to a bookkeeper, because if your business isn't bookkeeping, after 6 months to a year maximum, you shouldn't be doing your own books anymore. But by having that basic understanding, then you can then understand what the reporting means. And you, and a good bookkeeper and a good accountant doesn't just do your taxes or put the numbers into QuickBooks or whatever. They show you the story that your numbers are telling you. Like, if you know what you're looking at, you can use your numbers to figure out when you're busy. You can then ask the questions, why are you busy? Is it results of different marketing? When am I doing? How long is it taking for the stuff to come in? How should I be planning my expenses? How should I be planning for my taxes? Helping you for scheduling staff and when you should have your establishment open and that. There's so much stuff that the numbers tell you, where if you're not working with a financial coach or a business coach that understands that, all you see is, okay, this is what came in and this is what went out. And you're missing 99% of the value of those numbers.
Absolutely. You're completely right about. I've been through my own journey as well, and I know exactly what you are saying. And still I get confused in numbers as well. And then I speak to my accountant to explain it to me a certain degree sometime, but not all the time. But I should be more savvy about those things. At the end of the day, I'm putting so much time and effort and everything, and if the return is not good, so it's not putting that much time on those sort of activity which I'm putting in. That will be a realistic decision to say, okay, if I'm putting so much time, and that's what a lot of people are doing, actually. They are actually putting a lot of time into doing networking and going into here and there and not focusing on their business. Instead of thinking of that, I will do a lot of networking, I might get a lot of business from there. That's one way of looking at it. But how many times you meet 100 people and how many people are connected with you on a heart-to-heart basis or on emotion basis when they're thinking of that, oh, yeah, I really enjoy conversation with Tammy and I'm going to do business with her. Because you are going to be pinpointing exactly the entire person or their entire accountancy and say, your accounts are going through this journey right now. I can help you to grow less expense, but more profit for you. So people will definitely going to,
and not just less expense, less time and less effort, because especially when people are new business owners, like, they're excited and they go, I need to go out and drum up business, so they're putting out so much effort, but they're working in their business and they're not seeing, okay, well, what are the results of my efforts? Certain things are going to work better than others, or okay, where do I need to evaluate and improve and change, or maybe do like a little shift in order to make it work better. And that's one of the many, many pluses of working with a business coach, because a business coach, we help you figure out how to work on your business, not just in it and going round and round and round and not really getting anywhere. We shorten your learning curve.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with that. But again, we come back to, you know, this is all start from the early childhood, because we are embedded. I'm embedded with my dad used to guarantor to help a lot of people in his life. And he always says, oh, I can guarantee you to take out loans from the bank. I guarantee you. And you know that when you are become a guarantor, people will cheat you. And right, left, and people were cheating my dad at that time. And that's what he accumulated a lot of debt on him. And we thought that, you know, that's normal. I did the same thing. I had almost a debt of about £30,000 on me, because I thought, you know, I'm going to pay it back. It's not a problem. I will pay it back. I did pay it back because I sold my property and everything. And that's a drastic action we are taking. We are not looking at how we are going to see, because this financial issues affect not only you, it affects your family, it affects your children, it affects everybody who's surrounding you. It's your employees, if you got so many employees around you. With this COVID-19, so many people have been affected with this. Yep. And people have been issued with 80% of their salary. People have been told that you need to have a cut in your salary. You are not going to get any business bonuses, or there will be no remuneration this year as well. So how we can start teaching our children, this is from the childhood, that what money matters for them?
Well, the big thing is you need to have the conversations. That's the big thing. And you can start having the conversations as young as possible. Like, I started teaching my daughter when she was a toddler. Like, and I'm such a dork. When I was nursing her, I would read out loud books like Rich Dad, Poor Dad to her. I knew she wasn't getting it, but just getting it in the head. And whenever we would go out, we would have conversation. Like, she would understand when I'm paying at the grocery store. If she wanted to buy, like, she's had an allowance since she was 2 years old. And she puts it into the jars just like I told her. And then she's 17 now, and she totally and completely goes along with it. I remember in Canada here, the price and then the tax is on top of it. So you don't get the final price until you go to the till. She was buying a toy and it was like $4.99 or whatever. And they're asking her for $5.34. And she goes, Mommy, but it's $5. I said, no, sweetheart, you have to understand the GST, the tax is on top of it. So you have to figure. And she was like, are you kidding me? I said, I wish I was, but no, sweetie, that's how it goes. But we need to have the conversations with them. And my daughter is 17. My niece who lives with us is 16. And one of the things that we're doing through all the COVID-19 is we go out for walks in the park fairly regularly. And we're talking about, like, they were thinking about, well, should I go get a job at the McDonald's or something like that? And I started talking to them about, okay, my niece is really social and extroverted and she's on the social media and stuff all the time. I said, I could teach you the proper skills to set up a business where you can do social media marketing for small companies and teach you how to do it all properly. And then I'm showing her, okay, this is how I'll help you with the marketing on how you do that and putting together your packages. And I'm going, you get 5 clients and you're making over 1,000, like, and she would be quite affordable. You could be making well over $1,000 a month while you're in grade 11 and only a few hours a week once you've got it all set up. And my daughter, who's an introvert and very technically, I suggested to her, and now she's doing the research and she's learning how to do this. She's learning how to create apps.
Wow.
So that she could do them on her own, and then she can create apps for businesses. So she's going to be creating an app for me, for my business. And they'll have this all done. They will have their own businesses up and running successfully before they graduated high school.
Fantastic. I think this sort of, and sometimes what happens is it's your kids, because the way you have brought them up, the way you have given them the lesson from the early stages. We parents also give them some sort of degree of teaching them that this is what is important. There are things when our kids started get involved with other children and they see them and they feel them and they'll say, okay, but that's not happening that way. Why should I? And when, as a parent, when you're trying to tell them this is what actually the reality of world is, you know, look at this way. And I would like you to just take a step back and feel this is what is going to happen. How are you going to look at things? It's not that money will come, but you know, you don't want to start scrapping the surfaces. You need to have sufficient money, which will take you to places in a very good health.
Yeah.
Not worrying about it. You start worrying about it. What's going to happen? You're going to lose your hair. You're going to lose your confidence. You're going to lose everything. Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing that I found working with my kids, working, and I have a lot of my clients send me their kids, working with my clients, it doesn't matter the age, but like I said, I love getting them as young as possible because they're going, I can save you the decades of painful learning on your own. But the big thing is learning to ask the right questions, learning how to evaluate. So many people we're always looking for the answers. But the thing is, if you don't ask the right questions, you're never going to get the right answers. So it's like, what do you want out of life? And it's not an either or thing. Like, do you want to have a successful business or a successful family life? Both. Mm-hmm. So how do you do that? And if you're constantly, like you said, putting the questions out there, and some questions are bigger questions, you're not going to get the answer right away. But if you never ask the question, you are never going to get the answer. Like, what do you want out of life? What can you provide in order to make the world a better place? Like, and it can be very small, simple things. Like I was telling my daughters, there's a girl down in the States And she went over and she did an exchange over in China for a year when she was like 15. And one of the things that was that's very popular over there is they want to give their kids English names. But because they don't speak English, they were naming their kids like Xerox and FedEx and stuff because they knew that they were English words, but they had no understanding what it meant. So what she did is she put together a very simple questionnaire where they could go through and she'd ask them like 10 questions. They'd pay, I think worked out to be like $2 US. And then she would give them a report of like five names, whether it be a boy or a girl, that would be appropriate, like Elizabeth or Margaret or Jessica, rather than FedEx and Ford or whatever.
I know.
Her first year of having the website up, she made over $60,000.
Wow. That's beautiful. And it's just,
like I said, if you're open to it and you're seeing it, and there's a big it's a very large company now here in North America called mm-hmm. Kidco that was actually started back in the late 70s by an 11-year-old boy and his 14-year-old sister. And then they had a few friends and they lived in a community where they had stables. And mm-hmm. so he set up the company and he was the president. And his older sister was the one that basically ran the systems and the financials and all of that stuff. But they got the contract for cleaning out the stables and then they sold all the manure to the landscaping companies. And now it's a huge company that's all across North America. And you'll see the big Kidco trucks and stuff now because they do like road construction in that. It was, like I said, it was started by an 11-year-old and a 14-year-old because they're going, okay, what's a problem? What is something that we can do now? And how do we go about it? I'm going, we underestimate kids. We underestimate adults. And I don't believe that we should be trying to put people in this very small, tight, like, yes, go to school, get a good job, stay with the same company forever and ever and ever, which doesn't happen anymore. Like, what service can you provide to the world? And then how can you deliver that? And how can you deliver it based on your skills and what other people you can bring in to work with you? And what are the things that you can learn? And I think it's exciting and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. We need more people doing that.
Absolutely. I think every child have a special gift and every child have that capacity to explore the world in a different perspective and direction. It's about giving them this freedom to explore themselves and to achieve what they want to achieve. And again, if there is a support from their parents, from their siblings, they can do wonders, because I've seen so many kids over here who could not sustain the school system and they came out and they started their own businesses and they are flourishing more than their friends who are still sitting in university, haven't got a job as yet, and they are flourishing in a completely different direction. So,
well, the skills required in order to flourish in school are very, very different than the skills that are required to flourish in business. And some people are lucky and they have both.
Yes.
But most of the time, they're exact opposites. Like in school, up until like university, you're supposed, okay, here's your path. You don't deviate from it. These are the right answers. Whereas with entrepreneurship, it's you create in collaboration. Like if you collaborate in school, it's cheating.
Yes.
You collaborate in business, it's success. It's necessary.
Yes. Yes.
So it's very different. I can't remember where the saying comes from, but I've heard it many, many different times. A students work for C students.
So true. Absolutely true. I think I've seen it myself. And I completely agree with that one. Now, with this COVID-19, a lot of financial depression has come through now. So in your view, how do you think or what is your expert advice that people should do with whatever money they have, how they can utilize that money for their betterment?
Well, the big thing is that I tell everybody, you need to be aware of your money. Most people are very unconscious in their spending personally and in their business. You need to be comfortable and familiar with your numbers. What does it actually cost you to run your household, and not the extravagant. Like, our whole society drives us to buy tons of useless crap. Yes. Like, we don't need to be doing that. Like, take a look at what can you be getting rid of on your spending without affecting your lifestyle, and making improvements. And with your business and stuff, like you said, overhead kills. Overhead mm-hmm. kills you. So anywhere where you can bring down your costs and be very aware, like I said, where's your money coming in and where's it going out? As for investing in stuff right now, I'm going, if you have money to put in the markets, now's a great time, as long as you can definitely afford the time to ride it out. Mm-hmm. But if there's any uncertainty in your world, I'm going, be sitting on cash, because that will get you through things. And the biggest advantage you have is the gray matter in between your ears. Mm-hmm. Think about things, be creative. I've had an awful lot of businesses start off with next to no money and be very successful because they had to be creative. Mm-hmm. They had to learn, they had to think of unique ways of doing things and how do we do this, where I've definitely seen money be thrown at problems until they run out of money, but they still have the problems.
True. So, very true. Very true. So tell us about your, are you doing any sort of, is it your trainings are online at the moment because of the COVID, because of that? And does those training available from your website, how the people can access those trainings?
So I do a few different trainings. So I actually do a full weekend long. So it's Friday night, Saturday, all day Sunday. It's 20 hours, uh-huh. small business class, like everything you need to know to get yourself up and running. I've had people in the class, because I've been teaching this class for about 18 years. I've had people that from the very idea to people who have been successfully running businesses for 35 plus years in class. Mm-hmm. But definitely the earlier you get into it, the better. I'm doing a retreat, which is a week long in Costa Rica, but that's next July. And then I actually do a group coaching that's a year long program where you get 44 calls throughout the year. And we go through step by step, what do you need to do in order to build your business and build it properly, and you get the accountability and all this stuff. And you can find all of it on my website, ksabusiness.ca.
perfect. And is it this workshops and this all for anybody anywhere from the world, or is it more specific to one particular country?
No, it's basic business that can go anywhere.
Okay.
I only currently speak English, so I'm learning Spanish, but my Spanish is tequila right now. So if you can speak English, the only challenge for some other countries would be the time zones, because right now I'm only delivering them live.
Okay. The another thing, because what happened is because accounting system is, because when I was in Pakistan, I was learning in British a way of doing accountancy or doing my bookkeeping and everything. And people who are in America, they do it American way.
Yeah.
Canadians are
because
doing...
we don't do anything like on the very technical stuff for the accounting or any of that. That okay. doesn't matter.
Okay.
So Pakistani accounting or English accounting or Canadian or American accounting, those systems, we don't even talk about those. We just talk about, okay, what are the basic things? What are things that you need to be looking at within your business financially and stuff like that? And we go over everything. Like we spend the first day just fully dealing with your mindset. And then most of Saturday is on marketing, and most of Sunday is on putting together your systems for your business. But we go over financials, we go over advisors, we go over cash flow, we go over profit, we go over defining your ideal client, like all of it. Fantastic. And it doesn't matter, like I said, what country you're in, business is business. The technical aspects, that has to be dealt with on a local level, and we don't even talk about that.
Fantastic. And I think I will ask this question because my people might be asking the same question. So I thought I better ask that question.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will get all your information on the podcast. where people will get in touch with you. So this is all about, this round is all about knowing more properly about you. Now, Tammy, tell us about your favorite dish. What do you like eating?
Oh, you mean food?
Food, yeah.
Okay, well, that kind of depends a little bit on the mood, but there's definitely a few things. So I'm a Canadian girl. I'm in Alberta, the prairie, so very much beef country. So a really, really good prime rib with like a baked potato and a good Caesar salad and some dill pickles and some fresh tomatoes. That's one of my favoritest things.
Wow.
I also love seafood, like lobster, crab, shrimp, clam chowder, all of that. I'm a pasty white chick, so I don't do anything spicy. there's people like Indian food. I have people who love it, and I completely understand it. But Indian food doesn't like me.
you become like a potato then, or not potato? I will your tomato. You like when you eat Indian food, you like a tomato. Okay, I completely understand. What are your hobbies besides your teaching or doing your workshops? What other hobbies do you have?
I like going to movies. So it's kind of, we don't go like every weekend and stuff, but we do like going to a few movies throughout the year. So it's kind of been hard not being able to do any of that. I read a lot. I do a lot of writing. So I've written my children's financial books, but I'm also working on two different fiction not novels, but series. So that gets a little bit of time. Right now I'm doing so much stuff with my business that it's kind of been backburnered. I'm looking into getting a little bit more into the travel because unfortunately I haven't had much of an opportunity yet to travel. Like we're very much looking forward to going to Europe and over South America, and I'd love to go to Australia. But that's a little, well, first off, we have to get through COVID-19.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It will go away as well soon.
And I love talking to and meeting people with goals and curiosity and open minds. Like, I love these conversations. Like,
amazing.
And it's so amazing. Like, I grew up in a very rural area, very isolated. Everybody was white. Like we had one Chinese family and they ran the restaurant to town, but everybody else was white. So it was very homogenous and you weren't exposed to anything. Well, I've been living in Calgary for 29 years now and I have friends and clients and colleagues from all over the world, different ethnic backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. And I love talking with them and learning and what are you doing and what are the great things that are going on, because there is so much good going on and we need to highlight more of that to combat all the stupidity and the evil that's happening in the world.
Oh my God, that's absolutely amazing. Thank you, Tammy, for your time today. You have explored so many interesting area about finance and teaching kids, and also not only teaching kids, also adults, what's the worth understanding the finances. If you are a solopreneur and if you're starting your journey, learn some lesson prior to you dive into something completely opposite. You will not unexpected result will come because you will be focusing on more making money and you don't know where the leaks are. And then you say, I'm working 24/7 and I'm not making enough money. Where the money is going? So have a chat with Tammy. Tammy has running workshops, which is online. And because she's in Calgary and is a beautiful part of Canada and is lovely to connect and talk to her, and she will guide you through. And there are a lot of things she can offer you in terms of her great services, because she got at least she got 27 years of financial experience. So you can imagine. She's like a walking a financial guide or translator to you. So get in touch with her. So Tammy, thank you very much for being my guest on Chai with Sam Dosa. And I wish you all the best and good luck.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking with you and your guests.
Thank you.
Welcome to Chai with Sam Dosa. In my episodes, I have a great heart-centered conversation with my guests. They are in a diverse population around the world. So enjoy and have lots of fun. Please get in touch if you'd like to be on my podcast as well. Bye for now.